Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and rock god Rick Maxa.
Hey, anglers, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. We're having a fun time in studio. If you missed the first hour, we're in here with Bill Varney, and you did miss a fun hour, but look for the next hour. We're going to have a good time in studio. And today, the FishDope.com report, sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. Complete saltwater tackle shop full of Mexican and California licenses, trips, and six-pack charters. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle. Freshwater tackle, live bait for a great day at the lake. Dana Landing right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle at the end of the 67 Freeway at Maple View and Lakeside. Check out DanaLanding.com. Go see Johnny. He's a good guy down there. Gene out in East County. Good people. We're going to jump into it. We're going to talk to Mark Wish. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning at the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. How are you doing?
At the Chevron station.
You guys got it wired for me. All right. Thanks, Corey. Pete, Bill. Hey, so it's hard to believe here, but almost mid-November with still really nice weather, decent water conditions, a biting fish. You know, you got to love Southern California. Along the coast, still a bit of that big bonita around, some up in Santa Monica Bay there, some nice ones. And still a little bit off of Long Beach from time to time. And then, interestingly enough, just offshore from Newport yesterday afternoon, nice skipjack popped up. Guys had some pretty good fishing, and definitely not normal fare for November, but whatever, we'll take it. At Catalina, looking good. Squid's been in the isthmus there. And we're going over there the other day, and I got my favorite kind of phone call. We got a full float. Come on in. My friends on the Chabasco had it up, floated us a receiver, and we were done in no time. Thanks, Daryl. Thanks, Dan. And so we just anchored up right there on the bay grounds, 23 fathoms, and waited out the gray. And y'all's been pretty darn good there for about an hour or so in the morning. Best rig there was a light slider. Live squid, of course, and some on the dropper loop also. The problem with the dropper loop is it gets right down there in the bottom. And Catalina has a very healthy black sea bass population. I hooked two of them stupid things. God, there's some giant ones over there. It is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But we also checked a couple of the cod spots on the front that I like to do. And surprisingly, no red snappers on them. But, man, we had some nice ling cods. Those things are so tasty. Just fun fishing. Really nice trip. And down below the east end of Catalina, there's still some marlin around, decent amount, actually, for this time of year. And I don't think the last one of the season has been caught yet. I would imagine there'll be some more this weekend here. It was pretty good last weekend. And on the outside, like from the southeast corner of the Cortez up to the Tanner Bank, there's still some really good signal on that good grade bluefin tuna. Most of that's 30 to 70 to 80 like that, biting fly line sardines, but there's also plenty of cows and super cows. One of the sport boats had a 363 this last week. So you gotta take your heavy tackle, guys, but calm weather, biting fish, it's definitely time to go fishing.
Right? I mean, how does it get any better? And like you're saying, I mean, marlin in November, and you don't see the last one being caught just yet, and man, a bluefin biting on the Outer Banks, and
Merry Christmas.
Like hello.
Yeah,
huh?
That's good. You know, and then look at the terrafin. I mean, there's a beautiful break laying across the butterfly down there. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some interesting stuff hanging out on that break, but everybody's been up checking that Cortez, that bluefin, so I don't think anybody's even been down there. But, yeah, for this time of year, we got really nice water still, so it's going to be an interesting late fall season for sure.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you for some of this killer information or – get a custom bait tank or something like that, how do we do it?
Well, like you guys said, we're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at stores, area code 714-840-4262. Website, specificedgetackle.com. And I think we're going to have more good reports next week. It's looking good, guys. Go fishing.
Well, that's awesome, Mark. We appreciate you joining the show today. And, man, it just sounds like nothing but good times. And, man, to have the bluefin still biting and in the full day yellowtail happening. And
it's amazing. And all the squid, you know, Mark, I saw your pictures of the squid floating on the surface. How do you think that bodes for the white sea bass this year?
Well, we actually, Mark just...
We lost him.
Yeah, we did. He let us go. So that's all good. But
Well, we'll find out as the year goes on, for
but,
sure.
And it is. I mean, there's definitely more market squid around and that kind of stuff. And, I mean, it's just kind of a neat setup, really, isn't it?
It's really good to see all this bait in the water, anchovy, sardines, squid, all these different baits here. That's going to bring the fish around.
Yeah, it's kind of neat for sure. Well, today's report is sponsored by... let's see here, Blue Guard Innovations, making smart bilge pump switches and sensors and designed to protect you, your vessel, and the environment. If your boat lives in the water and you have not installed the BG1 oil and fuel detector, you could be risking thousands in fines. The BG1 will just one of several switches and sensors made at Blue Guard Innovations. Check bluebg1.com. Or get their affordable products at Wilson Marine and San Diego Marine Exchange. Kind of a cool thing. And we don't have Marcos today, but there's some of that cool stuff going on down at Seaforth. We do have Ron Lane, though. Let's jump into it. Let's talk to Ron Lane. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, good morning,
hey,
Ron.
We've got a couple of nice events going on down here at Dana Landing today. We've got the Birds and Bass. We've got a seminar on how to cook your turkey with Rory from Traeger and Matt Moyer, the executive chef over at La Jolla Country Club. This is going to be a fun one because while the turkey's cooking, we're going to have a bass seminar, too, on how to go out and catch those big ones with Matt.
That sounds
sounds like fun, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool, Ron, and two good
and
people.
And then this will be really fun because that seminar will wrap up and those turkeys will be done and we'll have lunch. Just in time.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that's cool. And Rory with Traeger Grills, such a cool guy and down to earth. And then to have Matt Moyer, just a local knowledge and laying him out as our local chef and friend, too, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's been around the fishery so long. I mean, I remember him when he was a kid fishing kayaks down at La Jolla. That guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's on the Ballast Point fishing team, about, you know, the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Anyway, the other thing we're doing is the CCA has that nice event over at Hubs, and we'll be wrapped up at 1 o'clock, so you can just scoot over there for a CCA event. I think it'd be a nice little combo going on at Dana Landing.
Hey, you got to support Ron Lane, Hobie Kayaks, jump over and support the CCA. How does it get any better, Ron?
Hey, thanks, guys. And, you know, we're going to have that new Outback, that one we've had so much trouble getting in stock. We've got them in stock now. We're going to have them in the water so you could try a kayak on a beautiful day in November.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. If they want to come down and join the festivities today with Matt Moyer and Rory from Traeger, what time does that kick off, Ron?
Well, the store opens at 9. The turkey seminar is at 10. The bass seminar is at 11, and lunch is at 12.
Wow.
Well, it sounds like you have it pretty well laid out, Ron, and we appreciate the killer info today. And sounds like, Bill, we know where we're going to be from 10 to noon, huh?
That's right. We're going to have to stop by and get some cranberries. We'll be right down.
Oh, I like it. Let's jump into the phone lines. They're packed up, and they want to talk to you, Bill. Let's talk to Mike. Mike's calling from Rosemead. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Corey and Bill. I live up in the San Gabriel Valley, and there's a plethora of Asian markets with all these exotic and different variety. I would call them bait, but they're food fish. I mean, food fish. But you know, I've seen blood clams, and I've seen razor clams, and you know, just everything on the market. New Zealand mussel, those big green ones. So, can you give me a little of your 2 cents worth and elaborate on that stuff? And one other thing, years ago, I was surf fishing up in the Broad Beach, Malibu area, and I was digging for sand crabs, and I found these, these subspecies of a sand crab. They were about the size of a golf ball, and a chicken egg, and they had spikes on them, and they're very they look like little dinosaurs of some type. But have you ever run across those?
I have. Those are mole crabs, and you don't want to step on them because they'll really hurt you with those spines. But, you know, sometimes with those crabs, it's so funny. You'll cast out a sand crab, and you'll be slowly retrieving it to shore, and kind of feels like you get hung up there, and you pull and pull, and then it comes loose, and you reel it in, and there are one of those mole crabs eating your bait. So, yes.
Oh, they do. They actually eat the bait.
They do, and they're like a relative of the horseshoe crab, which you'll find on the East Coast in places like Long Island and so forth, that grow to the size of almost a trash can lid. They get really big.
Right.
But we don't use those for bait too hard. I guess you could crush one with a hammer maybe and put some pieces on there.
They're just too big. And they are, like Mike said, they're literally as big as an egg. And
that's right, and they're hard as a rock. You know, they're very, very hard shell. It's like armor.
The only time I've come across them is digging. You know, I didn't have the crab and go at that time, right?
Mm, right.
So we dig, and I mean, when one of those spines hits your finger, you definitely know what's going on.
You knew something was down there.
Yeah.
Now, regarding these baits that you'll find at, let's just call them Asian markets, there's many of them in Westminster and places like that. They do have some very lively, fresh octopus, squid, clams, all kinds of different things, providing that they are fresh. They will all work. But if we're going to fish with something like squid in the surf, we're always going to look for something that's as fresh and as natural looking as possible because, you know, we're competing in the ocean against the real thing. We want to have something that really matches it and is similar to their forage. And then the best luck we've really had using squid is using strips of squid strips that are maybe about the shape and size of a pencil, and then cutting the ends of those so it has like a little kicking flap, almost like a tail on the end, and then feeding those up the hook and using those rather than like a big slab of squid like we would use for sand bass fishing or something. We won't do that. Or sea bass fishing.
Right.
We're going to cut them down so they're about the size of a pen or a pencil and put that on our hook so it's almost like a worm.
Interesting. So your local Asian market has
some very, very fresh stuff and sometimes good prices.
I like it. And Mike had a great one. And we appreciate you joining the show this morning, Mike. And let's jump back into it. We're going to talk to Roy. Roy's calling from San Diego. And thank you for being so patient this morning, Roy. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Great. Going to change up my questions just a little bit and stuff. I heard you guys talking, or actually heard Corey talking about using the slug for halibut, using like the worm weight, and using the pencil, kind of like the freshwater bass fishing, like the worm and whatnot and stuff. Can you do that also similar, instead of using a slider, can you just kind of peg it on there when you're using the Carolina rigging for the surf? Can you just like, would you find the perfect length? Or do you want your leader to move throughout the sinker using the sliding that way?
So you're referring to, like, let's say you use a sand crab and use a little tiny lead head to hold it on. Is that what you're referring to?
No. Like the how you normally rig it with a sliding weight and you're just letting the line go through in there. Like when you find it, do you always want it going through, or would you ever peg it like with a pencil you do with the worm weight?
So exactly, Roy, the sliding sinker, you want to keep it stationary, and is that something that Bill would do?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're talking about like if you peg it for freshwater bass fishing where the sinker doesn't slide. You could certainly do that. The reason that we want the sliding sinker is a couple of reasons. We don't want a lot of resistance against the line because when we're using very light 4 and 6 pound line, if that sliding sinker abrases the line, it can break really easily. So we have to be careful about that. We do want the leader, and we do want it from the standpoint of when we're retrieving our rig toward shore, that Carolina rig. Many times we'll come across an inshore hole, and that sinker will get hung up on the inside of that trough. And at the same time, that leader, whether that leader is 8 inches long or 36 inches long, will be waving back and forth in that trough and become very attractive to the fish there. So we do like that, and we also like the fact that it slides just in case we run across some kelp and stuff on our line and it hangs up on that sinker. That sinker will be able to slide on the line there and not bind, and it won't break off. And it's especially important in the bigger fish in the surf, because you have light line, you've got all that surge going on, you have to have that stretch in the line and the ability for it to slide through that sinker.
And it's really a natural presentation for what you're laying out, Bill, and and for them to be able to grab that bait and that first 6 inches be able to take off with it.
That's right.
It's a total natural deal, Roy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Without dragging the sinker, exactly.
Yeah, definitely, Roy. We appreciate you joining the show, and the callers make the show, and it's awesome.
That's,
you know,
right.
I mean,
great question.
I mean, we've got the guru in here, Bill Varney, but that's, you know, what do you come up with good questions? That's really what makes the show. Hey, we've got a special call, Mr. Pat McDonald. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody up there?
Doing great, Pat.
Fantastic, fantastic. Hey, so we just completed the Cabo Tuna Tournament down here. I just wanted to call in and give you guys some basic information. And we had a hell of a fun time down here. It was great. So now we got the award ceremony tonight.
That sounds wonderful, Pat.
Yeah, so we had 163 teams. That was up from 147 last year. We get, we're up $200,000 in payouts to teams, so we're 841,000. We're giving away tonight, and we had some pretty good fishing. We had a and we had our highest payout for a single team. It was matter of fact, we had two amazingly high payouts because these guys swept both days. So we had the team Hooray. They had a 241 pounder. They won. Swept all the day two optionals for $324,800 with that 241 pounder. And Cloud Nine was the champion of the tournament. They had 272 pounder the first day, and they were in all across the board. So they won not only the first day optionals for $324,800, but they also won the overall money. I think it was $68,000 for the overall biggest fish over 2 days. So they, as the champions in those two categories, they won $382,800. So
goodness.
We had two $300,000 winners. And those are the highest payouts in the history. Both of those were the highest in the payouts in the history of the tournament. So that was pretty significant. And then we had a couple of Wahoo winners, Team Wahoo and Texas Tuna Ticklers. They had a couple of Wahoo of 43 pounds and a 57-pounder that won them $56,000 each. And then there were some other teams, Serena and Bad Medicine, that picked up second and third place and some small change. So, yeah, so they had six teams. Sharing $840,000 was a record amount of money for the tournament. Had a great time, no controversies. We had one boat that came in a little bit, came in late, was disappointed. They would have won $324,000 if they had gotten in 3 minutes earlier. But
just
guys, it's beautiful weather and fantastic.
It sounds like a minor disappointment right there, Pat.
That's a bad
yeah,
day.
Yeah, that would have been pretty bummed out, too. I think we're going to change the rule a little bit so we have a boat sitting way out on the arch. So if they make it to the arch instead of having to get all the way into the harbor. So we'll make that change. And then they said that they had gotten in, but, you know, they were out by the arch. And so I think next year, just to make it safe so people aren't charging into the marina to get into the inner harbor, we're going to change that rule next year and get, have a boat out there with a radio and a flag and make it possible for boats to be able to check in right there at 6 o'clock and then to come in at a safe speed. So, you know, eliminate those kinds of things. We're always trying to figure out ways to have fun and also make it more fair and safe. So that we'll do that. But it was a great tournament, Pete. And, Ricky, we just had a wonderful time. And so we're looking forward to coming back home. But got to tie up a few loose ends with an 800-person dinner tonight on the cruise pier. And that's
it. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, Pat, that sounds like definitely a good time down there. And some minor tweaks for next year. But that's, hey, that's what makes it so good. And that's, you know, you're running an awesome deal and some big money, man. And
absolutely.
Over 160 teams, Pat, if they want to get in on it next year, do you have the dates yet for next year or the same time frame?
Yeah, same time frame. Yeah, the website will have all the details. We're going to nail down the dates. Usually it's first Wednesday through Saturday. We're thinking about moving it up about a week. I prefer to keep it where it is, but it might be moved. We're going to debate that when we get home. But I don't know, when you go up, you know, 15, 20 teams and $200,000, maybe we can change anything. So, we always look at, things when we get home and kind of rest and relax. But right now we had just had a great event. And I want to thank, Let's Talk Hookup for all the support you guys give us, all year long and all the things we do. Pete, Rick, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really cool, Pat. And, you know, running such a cool deal. How do you not give it the support, Pat?
That's right. And yeah. You know, Pat, well, I have a couple questions.
You guys go. I thank God I have my voice still. You know, normally Pete knows I lose my voice here pretty good.
But, hey, Pat, I got a couple quick questions for you. This is Bill.
Sure, yeah.
My first question is, now, of course, it's in the calendar, so it's the 21st annual next year, and everybody needs to be there. And you know I've been there and had a great time. But my first question would be, were these winning fish caught over toward the Gordo or the Uncle Sam? Whereabouts were they kept? catching these big fish?
You know, they were all over. It was interesting. These fish really varied on where they were caught. A lot of them were caught on yummy flyers, kites. One was caught on a chowili, you know, just, you know, drifting, you know, over a high spot. I would say the Jaime, the Gordo, and the Finger, and the outside porpoise were the four places that they, the majority of the fish. But I'll tell you this, it's interesting. Well, some of these big fish were caught in the middle of small tuna. So when you're catching tuna, you know, of 20, 15, even 8 pounds, what's underneath them are the big boys. And that was amazing. Guys were saying, oh, yeah, we had 4 or 5 fish, and you know, we're catching a bunch of small ones, and the bigger one came up. And so you're trying to get, you know, cull through these smaller fish, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, boom, the huge fish come up. So
wow. Anyway, wow.
Yeah, that was what was really interesting about this year was the mix of the fish under the porpoise. But there were two fish caught on the bank, so in traditional ways. And usually they were, you know, with the use of kite and balloons. A lot of techniques down here being utilized with Trace Marias Islands and that sort of thing, and the old yummy flyer and that kind of thing. So wow. A real diversity of techniques.
That's great. And my last question, and really the most important one, is during the dance on the first night, were you wearing the Elvis leather jumpsuit?
God, Bill, it's not funny. No, it wasn't Halloween this year. I didn't even wear it this Halloween. My daughter was disappointed. She's been talking about that thing, you know, all year, and you were going to wear it. And I go, nah, I know. But yeah, we'll put Elvis to rest for a bit.
So. Oh, okay. Definitely good stuff, Pat. We appreciate the awesome report, and congratulations. Over 160 teams, largest payout ever, and enjoy the 800-person dinner down on the cruise ship terminal tonight, okay?
We sure will. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, no problem, Pat. Thank you very much. We're going to be right back. They all want to talk to Bill. The lines are absolutely packed. He's given away 3 different surf packs, which include the calendar, include everything you need but a rod and reel. We're going to be right back with Bill Varney on Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
There is an undisclosed paradise waiting for you in your own backyard. It's the La Misión Hotel in beautiful Loreto, Baja California. Experience one of the few towns that has truly kept the spirit of old Baja, combined with the luxury of a 5-star hotel. Old Mission traditions, authentic lifestyle, and a wealth of Mexican culture still lives at the La Misión Hotel. Situated on the water and just steps from the harbor, take advantage of the fantastic fishing and natural beauty of the Sea of Cortez and the islands of Loreto. Loreto has long been known as the Dorado capital of the world, but huge tuna, wahoo, marlin, yellowtail, and pargo are abundant too. La Misión Hotel can set up affordable fishing trips, dive packages, and family fun adventures to enjoy the rich natural abundance of Loreto. La Misión also has a fantastic spa. Fine dining at Los Olivos restaurant and the famous pizza grill will amaze and stimulate your palate. Relax, fish, and enjoy the beauty and adventure of Loreto at the La Misión Hotel. Fishing and other very affordable packages are available. Once you go, you're hooked. Check LaMisiónLoreto.com for details. La Misión, the beauty and fun of Loreto, is waiting for you.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Quality is the name of the game at Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay. Free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, plus a great fleet. It's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Tomahawk, Prowler, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
XFRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. And, man, we've been talking about everything from Cabo to Santa Barbara and beyond and having a great time in studio with Bill Varney and talking nothing but good times and talking the calendar.
Great.
And the calendar's out in the shops right now, and it's just some of the coolest pictures. And
just fantastic photography.
Oh,
we're so
it.
Lucky to have these great photographers, Tony Pena and Ron Belante and Tom Waters, and on they
yes.
go. We're very, very blessed.
I see Pete in there with his huge...
That's right.
I think that was a 60-plus pound ling cod, absolute enormous thing.
Biggest ling cod I think I've ever seen. It was a huge fish.
I see some awesome largemouth. I see Benny Florentino with an awesome calico.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely some cool stuff. Hey, the lines are packed up. They want to talk to you, and let's get it. Let's jump into it. Let's talk to Hills. Hills calling from Ventura. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, Bill and Corey. Thanks for getting me on. I really appreciate being able to talk about surf fishing. Bill's such an icon in our the sport.
Thank you, Hills. I love the sport.
I wanted to, you know, listen to the show. I pick up a lot of tips, and one tip I got on helped me on my surf fishing, and you guys touched on it earlier, was Captain Ron Baker, who specialized in halibut on the Point Loma. He talked about how when halibut spawn, because they're broadcast spawners, they tend to spawn. The successful spawners are on hard bottom and cobble, because those eggs can sift into the cracks and survive rather than washing away on the bare sand. So I have located some spawning aggregates, and I also picked up from bounce ballers. When you catch one halibut, they always hit their GPS because there's at least two or more, and the males are shingled on top, and then you work your way down to the big female on the bottom kind of thing. So with surf fishing, luckily in my area, there's a lot of hard bottom, and that's been real good for halibut. And I want to offer one tip, because I'm always fishing for trophies, is I use straight Spectra. I use a short 15-pound fluoro, but, you know, little leader. But I like this Spectra because it's so immediate. I feel mm-hmm. every tap, every piece of eelgrass. But when I got a trophy on the line, I got underneath my full spool of power pole, I got 125 feet of 10-pound mono. So I know when I get out into that mono, I can button down my drag and use that rubber band.
Oh, that's
a great idea.
That's a good one, Hills.
And that's landed me a fish over 20 pounds, you know, on my little trout reel, you know, I fish the 2,500 to 4,000 size spinning reels. And so I'm just offering that up to everybody. It's so exciting to surf fish. You do have a chance at trophy.
Oh, absolutely, Hills. And that's the we were talking about earlier in the show. That's the beauty of it with talking to Bill, is that all this stuff is so accessible. It's accessible to anybody. It's easy. It's fun. And it's right in our backyard.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely, Hills. And we definitely appreciate you joining the show, Hills, and giving up the cool tips. It's a lot of fun. Let's jump into it again. Let's talk to Mike. Mike is calling from San Diego. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Mike.
Oh, hi. This is Mike, your expert novice.
Yes, yes.
That's me.
Join the
club.
surf
fishing, surf bait. So if you pick up some of those sand crabs and you're kind of moving from spot to spot, like how do you transport them? Or do you just pick up one and use it and pick up another?
That's a good question. You transport them very carefully. They are not overly sensitive. You can probably keep them for about 2 to maybe 3 days, and they'll still be alive. So what I do is I catch my sand crabs at the beach, and most of the time, let's say that I'm going to go fishing on Saturday or Friday, I'm going to go on Thursday or Wednesday, and I'm going to catch my bait, have all of my bait ready, and then go down to the sand to be ready to fish that day.
Is the bait going to be in a jar full of water or what?
That's a great question. With sand crabs, no. Sand crabs are air-breathing critters, which means that if you were to put them in a jar that was full of water, maybe had sand in the bottom and 2 or 3 inches of water, they would drown in there. So really the best way to keep your sand crabs is catch them, find where you're going to catch them, whether that's under a pier or during the summer just on the open beach. Rinse as much sand off of them as you can when you're down at the water, and then when you bring them home, you want to keep them in a relatively dry plastic container.
Dry but moist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost like humid,
yes.
But certainly not wet in the sense that there's any water in with them. And then I will put those inside an ice chest, and then I will drape a wet rag over the top of them to keep the temperature down and keep them moist in that area. I will never put them in the refrigerator. They'll die in about 20 minutes in the refrigerator,
too cold.
And if you put them in the ice chest and you put ice in there, that too will get too cold. So many times I'll just freeze a bottle of water, a small drinking bottle of water, put that adjacent to them in the ice chest, maybe leave the top of the ice chest cracked, but be sure to have that wet towel over them. And that towel doesn't have to have salt water. It could be fresh water. And then if you are smart enough, you have a little time to collect some salt water in maybe a orange juice container while you're at the beach. You can rinse them out once a day, and they'll last for about 2 to 3 days for you in your garage, provided it doesn't get too warm.
I'll tell you a cool little tip that I do too, Mike and Bill, is I actually use the kelp on the beach.
That's right. That's exactly what we do. To keep them cool, we use that kelp. And, of course, the kelp's got a little slime on it, so it keeps them moist.
But it's also like a sponge, right? So
it
keeps... And that's you want to keep it dry, but you want it to be moist. And that's where the kelp is like a sponge and gives you moisture, but yet they're not soaking in it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. My only suggestion with the kelp, because we do use that all the time,
yes,
either down at the beach or when we bring them home to drape over them, in addition or rather than the towel, is that when you open your ice chest the next day, stand back a little bit, because there's always little flies that have hatched,
yeah,
from the kelp that will fly out and go up your nose if you're not careful.
Right. But definitely a good way of keeping them.
Absolutely.
It's very similar to like ghost shrimp. If you've,
yes,
purchased ghost shrimp from your local tackle shop, they have them in little sponge squares usually. And
that's right. Or they have a grass in there that's similar to our eelgrass here that they use to keep them moist and cool.
Right. So very, very similar. And, Mike, we appreciate you joining Let's Talk Hookup this morning. And we're going to jump back in and we're going to talk to Mark. Mark's in Santee. We appreciate you joining Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question. Do you do a lot of fly fishing?
I do not. I do not do a lot of fly fishing. We don't really see a lot of fly fishermen per se at the beach surf fishing, and I don't know the exact reason. Part of it is the back cast issue. They have to worry about who's around them. But we do use flies,
right,
in the surf. They're very effective in the surf. We use them on the Carolina rig, just like we'd be using a bait or a grub, but instead of the grub or a bait, we're going to put a fly on there. And a very common fly in the surf is a Clouser minnow, the chartreuse and white or the red and white. I've seen more 10, 15, 20-pound halibut caught on those in the surf than just about any lure that's out there. So flies definitely work in the surf. Fish in the surf, all the fish, whether they're perch or otherwise, eat fries, eat small baby perch and other small fish. So flies work very well there.
And the Clouser's bait fish imitation.
Absolutely.
Right?
The Clouser is the bait fish imitation. It has a couple little eyes on it, and the way it's the fly lays out, it's almost like a tail.
Right.
On the fish.
And just to give them another little tip, Mark and Santee, you go to a fly shop, you will be absolutely blown away at the crabs and the imitations they have are incredible. I mean, what you're talking about, using those for actual, you know, the end of your line lure.
That's right.
It'd be kind of cool, really, wouldn't it?
They work perfectly fine, and they work great. They work particularly well in the cold water winter months, so November through the beginning of April is really the time to use flies. And then when the summer comes, it's good to use the natural live baits that occur in those areas.
That's kind of cool. We appreciate you joining the show, Mark, and you had a great question, and we're going to jump back into it. I'm sure Bruce has an equally important question from Lemon Grove. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. My question for Mark is,
laser minnows in the surf line. Do you ever use those?
You know, those seem to be most, because of their weight, they seem to be most effective that I've used them in areas like Cabo San Lucas and the East Cape and so forth. I think they would probably work up here, but they require a pretty fast retrieve. And as we're fishing up here and as the water gets cooler, our retrieve slows way down. So they are possible that they would work up here, but I've seen them and used them down in Cabo San Lucas on the Pacific side there, and they're very, very effective because you can get a super long cast with them, and then they work best with a very, very quick retrieve.
And one, Bruce, that Bill and I were talking about off air, and this is, you know, it's cool, man, if we could just have the show continue through the commercials, right? Bruce, we were talking about something very similar, but the crocodile lure.
Mm-hmm.
And the crocodile lure is like the all-time legendary going to fish Bajas in the surf kind of lure. And it just, it gets bit, it holds up, everything eats it.
It can be used at all different speeds.
Yes.
It can be a slop and a start lure. It has a lot. You know, it's the thing about the crocodile, which is interesting. If you go back to the 1930s and 40s and 50s here in Southern California, that's what people used in this besides live bait. They'd use that in the surf, and all the halibut were caught on that. But with the invention of the Rapala and the Lucky Craft, a lot more people have gravitated toward those now, and they're catching a lot of fish on those. But I think if we went back to the crocodile, that would still be catching fish today, just like it was.
I agree with you, and it's just it's a fun lure to use. I mean, instead of a laser minnow,
mm-hmm.
the crocodile, you can bomb it out a mile.
That's right.
But you can get on a slower retrieve, and it's just so sexy looking in the water.
It sure is.
I like the sexiness, right?
That's
all about
right.
The crocodile.
All about the look.
Let's talk to Bruce. Hey. Bruce is calling from Pacific Beach. Welcome. Let's talk hookup this morning, Bruce.
Hey, morning, Corey and Bill.
Good morning.
I got a few questions. I like to target the Corbina, and I hear they're pretty finicky. So, what are the best beaches in San Diego? What are the line size, hook size, best bait, and do they hit any kind of lures?
Wow, those are a lot of good questions. On the best beach, I would say just from the standpoint of where we receive the most reports from, would be Torrey Pines. But when it comes to Corbina, you can find them everywhere from Cedros Island area, Abrejos, all the way up above Santa Barbara. They're really all along the coast. And recently, in the past 3 years, the biggest ones, without question, have been in the Carpinteria, Santa Barbara area in August and September. It's unbelievable. It seems like they hide all year, and they ended up there the past couple of years. As far as baits are concerned, they have excellent eyesight. They're very smart fish. They have a barbell in their chin that allows them to run it along the bottom and not only look for food, but be able to feel movement. So you have to be very, very stealth in the water with them. If you decide to wade into the water, you want to find your spot that you're going to fish and be very, very still in that area. But what they're going to feed on primarily are things that occur naturally in the area where they live, which are sand crabs in particular, and soft shell sand crabs or medium shell, like about the pliability of a beer can or a pop can. That's about what they're looking to eat. You will catch them on worms, lugworms and bloodworms. You'll occasionally see them caught on a grub or a castmaster or a crocodile. I've seen a couple on Lucky Crafts. But if you're looking really for a trophy Corbina, you're going to want to use some very light line. I'd use 4 to 6 pound fluorocarbon leader. You want your leader to be anywhere from 12 inches to 30 inches long, depending on the size of the surf. The bigger the surf, the shorter your leader, the smaller the surf, the longer your leader. And you're going to want to use a very sharp hook, about a number 2 or a size 4 hook, and be sure to bury your hook into the bait enough so it's well hidden and it looks like all of the other crabs that are on the beach.
Totally natural. And Bruce, I mean, we have some wonderful beaches. You're calling from Pacific Beach,
mm-hmm.
Bruce. And
Pacific Beach has great Corbina fishing.
Some good zones. And I think, Bruce, if you find the bait, you're going to find the fish. And to walk the beach and find the areas of sand crab, they start targeting. I mean, that's where you're going to find your perch and your, you know, with where you find the anchovy offshore is where you're going to find the tuna usually. So it's just kind of
absolutely
find the bait and match it all up. And Bruce, we appreciate you joining Let's Talk Hookup this morning. It was a great question. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny's calling from Wine Gardens, my old stomping grounds. Welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
guys.
Good morning.
A couple months ago, we had a kids fishing derby down here at Seal Beach Pier, and we ended up with a bonefish.
Oh, that's great.
Kind of cool. So there's bonefish down there. The big kicker was we took it up to the, you know, to weigh it in, you know, register it in and stuff. And the DFG didn't even know what it was. So I just want to say it's kind of important to let people know what these fish are and, you know, the regulations on them and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true, Kenny. It's kind of a neat treasure we have in our backyard. And
absolutely.
Like Bill mentioned, they've caught some up north, just like you're mentioning, Kenny. And you didn't get in on the wahoo on the beach, huh?
That's right.
No wahoo. Hey, but there was some bonita down here over there in Long Beach off that pier, off that Veterans Pier. I forget which one it is.
The Belmont Pier.
Over there.
Belmont Pier, probably.
Yeah, Belmont. Belmont, yeah. There was some bones, small ones running through, chasing bait around and stuff. We're getting them on a feather and splasher rig.
Such a cool deal.
Yeah, and that's I'm so glad you brought that up, bobber and feather. You know, that is something that we have used for year, I mean forever, in not only in the surf and in harbors and so, but for fishing for bonito. And whether it is up by Malibu or down by King Harbor or in Huntington and Seal Beach or even down here in San Diego, there are bonito out there. And from the surf, a bobber, a clear bobber that you can fill full of water and about a leader, if you can make it as long as your rod, about that length, and then a feather behind it, red and white feather, blue and white feather, cast that out as far as you can, splash it into shore, you'll hook into some big bonito, and that's quite a fight from the surf.
Such a cool thing. I mean, we grew up doing that as kids.
That's right.
And like Kenny was talking about, I grew up in the Hawaiian Gardens area. We'd ride our little bikes down to Seal Beach and Belmont Pier, just like you're talking about, fishing bonito and having a fun time, right?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's really exciting for this.
What do you think? I mean, you mentioned the bobber, and or not bobber, but the bubble and the fly in the surf. And you think that's only a summertime or?
Well, you know, these bonito, they become very aggressive in this clear water in times of November, December, January, especially when we have rain. Any day where we're going to have rain come here to Los Angeles and it's preceded by calm weather prior to the rain getting here, it seems for some reason that really turns those bonito on and it's time to get out there. And you'll see them just boiling offshore. You wonder what it is. You always kind of think it's mackerel, but a lot of times it's bonito. And the way you're going to get out to them is by using that bobber and that feather and getting it as far out as you can.
Right. That's such a neat thing to see make a comeback, you know, to see it. I mean, there was a 10-year period or whatever. We didn't see very many of them, and we always looked forward to it in the fall. They would come as the water temperature started to cool down right now. You
That's
know?
Right. And, right and you now. Know, one of the benefits is that you can tell your buddies you caught a tuna from the beach.
Right.
You know, it's a stretch, but it's a tuna nonetheless.
That's all good, right? Yeah, it's kind of cool. Let's jump into it, Bill. Some really cool information we're sharing this morning, and David wants to get in on it from Chino Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, my question is, I was about a month ago, I went surf fishing over there, Sunset Beach, and I was wading in the water and everything. I come out, and I might have stepped on something, but I went back to my motel, my foot, I couldn't walk on it. It was a little swollen and everything, but it went away, and now, a month later, my foot's really hurting. Is there anything that could be in there, something I stepped on?
Well, you know,
it's very possible that you stepped on a stingray, and the stingray in its tail has barbs. Once again, has a neurotoxin in those barbs, and you could have had one of those barbs either go in or break off under your skin. It's a common occurrence. I would suggest the best thing to do is put your foot in as warm a water as possible and see if that makes the pain go away. If that does happen, you can pretty well be assured that spine is in you. And sometimes those do need to be surgically removed by the doctor.
If it breaks off in there or whatever.
If it breaks off in there.
So neither one of us are doctors, David.
That's right.
That's definitely something that if it hurts a month later, that you might want to look into. I know I've stepped on stingrays and working on the bait boats, trust me, when I started there, we pulled net by hand. I was lucky enough to get in on the old Italian Portuguese style pulling net by hand. And trust me, when you're pulling net at night, we'd get sculpin, we would get bat rays and stingrays in the hand, and they would hurt for a long, long, long time, and up to a month. I mean, it would be sore, but yeah, it's definitely something you might want to look into. And I fish in the surf, it's something that's going to happen. And
that's right.
The stingray shuffle kind of is a big deal.
It's very important, and people forget to not only shuffle on their way out, but you want to shuffle your feet on the way back in if you go into the water, because you'll easily walk backwards and step on one also.
And traditionally, you think of only the summertime months, right, when the water's all nice and warm and toasty, but as the water cools down, they want to get in shallower to get that little bit of warmth and,
exactly,
and warming. So it's something you really want to be careful of. It's not only in the summertime. And
you can break that toxin down by putting your extremity in very hot, in the warmest water, hottest water that you can take. It'll break that down. The last thing you want to do is put it in cold water, because that's how they work. They sting. They basically stick the prey. The prey swims into deeper water for safety, and as it goes down in that colder water, the neurotoxin gets stronger and stronger and paralyzes
it. And that's what the lifeguards do, is they put it in very warm.
Exactly what they do.
Very warm water. So, hey, with all that being said, we've had so many callers. It's been an awesome time with you, Bill, and we have so many people that are in the running for these three packages.
That's great.
Yeah, for the calendar and beyond. We're going to have more when we come back on Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring Fall Sales Event is back. For a limited time, purchase an eligible new 2.5 to 115 horsepower four-stroke and get 6 years of warranty protection plus up to $500 in dealer credit. New 150 to 300 horsepower four-strokes come with 6 full years of warranty protection. Visit your local Yamaha outboards dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends November 19th, 2018. Subject to change at any time. Other restrictions and conditions apply. 36-month limited warranty and 36-month Yamaha extended service contract. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 36-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. This promotion cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer. When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color, clarity, detail. Maui Jim.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 19 stores and more to come throughout Southern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro is home to LA's finest open party fleet, including overnights on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Native Sun. Plus, you can charter the Ultra, Spectra, and True Line. There is always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. Take advantage of the Wednesday specials on the Pursuit in Monte Carlo, and kids fish free with a paid adult on the afternoon half-day. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or book online at 22ndstreet.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090, and have had the absolute best time with you in studio, Bill. And
thank you. So much fun. So many great questions.
Yeah, so much fun. And I love surf fishing. It's a passion of mine and just something I love doing. It's easy, it's fun, and big fish. And
it really is. And it tunes you up for going out on the boat and going out for multi-day trips and stuff. Gives you tuned up, gets you right into the feeling of when you get a strike and when it's time to set the hook and all that stuff. It's a great thing to do.
And I think the listeners have enjoyed it too. And we've had, we have a few lucky winners today. They're going to be very stoked. We have Mark in L.A. Never got on air. You were on hold. And that just shows, you know, give us a call and
exactly.
We're going to have to get on air. We appreciate you joining the show, Mark. Mark from L.A. is going to win a calendar. Another calendar winner is Gary from Longdale. Congratulations. And Dennis in Norwalk, you're winning the calendar too. The kit, which includes everything for surf fishing but the rod and reel, including the calendar, is Hills from Ventura. You are going to be stoked. I know Hills loves surf fishing and right up his alley, right?
That's right. Perfect for him. He's going to get out there and get her done. And the calendar, of course, has tide charts on it. So he'll know the right tides. He'll have all the equipment. Just needs his license and his rod and reel. He's ready to roll.
And the calendars are in the local shops.
All the tackle shops up and down the coast, all the landings, and, of course, at all the Turners.
It's at Turner's stores. Got to like it. And that's something I grew up with, and it's just a fabric of the way I go fishing and do my surf. And inshore, it's all related around the tide calendar, and I'm stoked I got one in my hands.
You're ready to go now.
Oh, it's been really cool, Bill, having you in studio. And
Thank you.
I know we want to mention the CCA banquet going on today.
Exactly. CCA is having a banquet at Hub's SeaWorld Center there. I would suggest everybody come down there. There's a few tickets left, so you have to get there early and get those out the door. I'll be there. If you have any surf fishing questions, please come. But I really do want to, you know, tell folks who are already coming there what a special occasion it is and the opportunity they're going to have to come and see their hatchery and the way that they have completely set it up from tiny little fries and food all the way up to 20-pound yellowtail swimming in a giant circle.
Isn't that cool? It's really exciting. And so we'll have a chance.
It's unbelievable.
We'll be able to see that if we come down.
You really will. You'll be able to go right up to these barrels or tanks that they have them in and see the halibut, the white sea bass, and the yellowtail. It's really great.
So I've got my day planned out, Bill. I'm going down to Ron's, 10 a.m.
That's right. We're having turkey.
We're going to hear Matt Moyer talk at 11. We're going to have lunch at noon. And then we're going to jump on over to the CCA banquet, Bill.
That's exactly right. I'll have to take a nap tonight before I go to sleep.
Oh, man. It's been a lot of fun having you in studio. And you know, one of the ways they can get a hold of you is through your summertime beach fishing seminars.
That's right.
You have a handful every year.
Exactly. We have about a dozen on-the-beach surf fishing seminars every year at the state beaches. May will be Crystal Cove. June will be Bolsa Chica State Beach. July will be South Carlsbad State Beach. August will be Carpinteria State Beach, and then back to Bolsa Chica in September. And we just have folks sign up for that. They come to our site, fishthesurf.com, click on seminars, and when they're available, which we usually know right around the Fred Hall shows, the dates, they're able to begin to sign up for those. We come down, we give about a 20-minute seminar, we enjoy coffee and donuts, and then we supply all the bait and all the instructions and spread out on the beach and catch some fish. It's a great time.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Bill, and you're such a wealth of knowledge. And anybody that can come down to the CCA thing today and
please come
and enjoy your knowledge and just pick your brain a little bit. And I know somebody's brain will be picking is tomorrow. Tomorrow on air is going to be Greg Stotesbury in studio from AFCO. Pete's going to be back. I'm going to be here with Pete. It'll be the two of us with Greg. I can't wait for that show. We'll see you tomorrow, Sunday. Happy Veterans Day weekend to everybody out there. We'll see you tomorrow.